Christian greetings to each one this morning. It's good to be back home. Had to think this past week, many of you know Brother Wilbert Krupp out from Harrisburg, Oregon. We went up to the hospital and visited him. He just had surgery and had a foot of his colon removed because of a large tumor that was there. Seemed to be getting along pretty good, but then some complications set in, and he passed away just a few days ago. The night before, he had gone home, and I don't even know the details. I don't know if they weren't able to do anything and sent him home, or thought he was better than he was and sent him home. I don't know how it was. But the next morning, then, he passed away, and that was his birthday. And we thought, probably as he was there in the hospital, his desire would have been to go home. And what a homecoming that was. What a birthday it was. Somebody said, what a present to be able to see Jesus and to be with him. And those that have gone on before, the end of a good journey, like Paul said, he fought a good fight. And he kept the faith, and he made it safely home. Praise the Lord. So today, I think, was the funeral. I'm not sure. I suppose it was this morning. But we might especially remember the family out there. I'd like to read, if you want to turn with us, over into Psalms 126. Psalms 126. Pray that the Lord will, even as the song said, Lord, give us a vision today. Give us a vision. Starting with verse 1 of Psalms 126. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the desert or in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Let's stop right there. Let's just bow our heads for prayer. Father, again this morning we come with grateful hearts to thee for thy mercy to us. We thank thee for thy help and blessings day by day. And again we look to thee that thou wilt guide us and direct us in this service, that thou wilt have thy right away in each one of our hearts, in our lives, and in our desires and our goals in life. We pray that they might be right and that they might be those things which will draw us to thee. We just pray for thy direction this morning. For what thou dost do, we shall give thee all the praise. In Jesus' precious name, amen. The scripture has two different things here that particularly stand out to me. In the first part of the scripture, it speaks about that the Lord had turned again the captivity of Zion, and they were like them that dream. wonder if that's how it will be when we get to heaven, that it will be so wonderful, so good, that we just can't hardly comprehend that the Lord has helped us to make it safely home to be with him. They'd been in captivity, but the Lord turned that captivity again, the captivity of Zion, and they were like those that dreamed. It said their mouth was filled with laughter and their tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us. Wherefore, we are glad. As we were traveling out in Oregon, my wife mentioned several times that she thought as we were going along this northern highway, along the northern border of Oregon, that there was a falls, and it was, I have to look at my paper, I can't remember that name. It's called the Multnomah Falls. Some of you probably have been by there. But even as you travel along the highway, you can look off on the right-hand side of the way we were going east, and that huge falls coming down from way up on the mountain and just dropping hundreds of feet down to the pool below, and then again dropping another 80-some feet from that pool to another pool. And so she was mentioning, well, why don't we just go over there? You know, you could see it there, but it'd be just nice to get out and stretch and go over there, see the falls. We've seen Niagara Falls. A lot of you probably seen that too. We've stood right at the top of it and watched that huge volume of water go over and hit down below, and the churning white water below. This was different. It was way up on the mountain. It almost make you dizzy looking up there. And so we decided we'll go over there. We really didn't know what we was getting into, but we went over. And I had to think of life as sometimes sort of like that too. God has given us some goals and some directives in life, and he showed us what we need to do and how to live. And then the goal of, I think one of the things while we're here is that the Lord will give us a vision to help others get ready for heaven. And then that when we arrive safely home, that we'll be able to see those that have gone on before. Maybe we've said a word of encouragement. Maybe we've prayed for someone for years. Maybe we didn't know how it affected someone, but to see them safely home too is going to be something that I don't believe we can comprehend. It talks about sowing in tears and reaping in joy. He that goeth forth weeping and weepeth bearing precious seed shall doubtless, isn't that something? That's a real promise. Shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. We walked over and to the base of this falls, and there was a number of people over there looking up at this volume of water, and really, it was quite a bit of water, but nothing like Niagara Falls, but it fell a tremendous distance. And so we thought, well, there's a little bridge up so high, we'll walk on around and go up on that little bridge where we can be a little closer. So we went up on the bridge, and then we could look over in a pool of water and see the water hitting from way up from the mountain. And got to noticing that over on the mountain that we saw people way off there in the distance, and it looked like that they were going up, and there was a way to get on up higher on the mountain. So I thought, well, I'm going to go over and see what's going on. And you know, the Lord in our Christian life, he calls us to a higher ground, to step on, to keep stepping in the light. Moment by moment, we walk with the Lord, and it's step by step that we gain higher ground. And this wasn't like our Christian life, as far as we didn't realize where the end of this path was going to take. And maybe it is in a way like a Christian life. If the Lord would show us all the things we had to go through before we got to the end, we'd maybe just faint before we started. But we went on over and started up this little path. It was a nice little path, all black topped and going up pretty steep. And I didn't know how far I was going to be able to get, because I am not like my wife. She goes and walks every day, and she gets her exercise like that. I do mine in different ways. And so as far as walking, I'd already found out down in the Yosemite National Forest, we went down to see some sequoias, big trees. And the problem is, going down there, we started going down, down, down. And as we was going, we were thinking, you know, we're going to have to come out of here. And it's not too hard going down. Now there again, you know, if you're just coasting and drifting with the tide, it's not too hard to drift along, just to coast along. But there, if you're going to get back to where you come from, you're going to have to come back up that same path. And so you better think about it as you start going down. And we went down a mile and a quarter, I think it was, and towards the end it dropped off severely. And we met several people that give us even greater questions. I remember three ladies came up together, and they were huffing and puffing. They were coming back up, and they were saying something about it, wondering how far it is back up, how far they got to go before they get back up. And I thought to myself, I don't know how I'm going to get out of this place. But we finally got to our goal at that point. We got down at the very bottom and saw these huge trees, tremendous trees, sticking hundreds of feet in the sky. That was wonderful, but that wasn't the end of the journey. We started back. And, you know, I'd already walked a good distance. Even though it was downhill, I'd done quite a bit of walking. And starting back up that hill wasn't any pleasant thing. I walked for a while, and my wife just go right along. It's no problem. And I'd huff and puff, and I'd get my phone out, and I had the little camera on it, and I'd look at this and that, and have a reason for stopping, you know. That really wasn't the reason, but I'd look at the trees, and I'd look at this, and she'd look at flowers, and people would go by us, and we'd already passed them, and they'd go by us, and we'd walk a little bit further, and I wonder if this is going to have to call somebody to come down and get us up out of there. Well, that was the beginning of our journey. But back to the falls, we started up those. It was nice, very well. I didn't do very good back in that other one, and I probably won't do good here either. But I'm just going to walk a little bit and we'll see how far we get. You know, I found out that in doing this, you go step by step. And there's a song in the hymnary that says, each step I take, I know that He is with me. And you don't do your whole journey in one day or in just a little bit. Each step I take, my Savior goes before me, and with His loving hand, He leads the way. And with each breath I whisper, I adore Thee. Oh, what joy to walk with Him each day. At times I feel my faith begin to waver when up ahead I see a chasm wide. It's then I turn and look up to my Savior. I am strong when He is by my side. I trust in God no matter come what may, for life eternal is in His hand. He holds the key that opens up the way that will lead me to the promised land. And we went up a while on the side of that mountain, and then the thing would be a switchback. And back around we'd go up and start up another way and walk and walk. But I was making it. In fact, I was doing lots better than I had down there before. And the thought in my mind was that I don't have to go up when I'm done here. I get to come down. And so I think if I, as high as I get, I can just keep going, and coming down won't be so bad. But even then, it was serious exercise and serious walking. And it seems like that people get to where that they can, they're not so bashful around other people when they're both in the same, walking up and down, doing all those different things. And well, some of the people, now it was us going up. It wasn't those ladies that we met back in the Yosemite Park. But I remember I said to one person, how far is it up there? Are we almost to the top? Oh, no, he said, you're not up to the top yet. He said, you've only come three switchbacks. And he said, there's 11 to go, 11 total. We'd come three of them. I thought, oh, I'm going to be able to make it or not. And someone else is walking down, and I said, you think it's really worth it to get up there? Oh, yes, it's really worth it. Well, I'm going to keep on going then. You know, sometimes we need those encouragements, don't we? From older saints of God, is it worth it in the journey of life? Is it worth it to live for the Lord? Oh, yes, it is. To be able to see your family take the way with the Lord and to be able to walk with Him and have fellowship with Him day after day. Yes, it's worth it. We wouldn't go back for anything. We don't want to turn our backs on the Lord for anything, for what He's done for us. Well, I remember when we finally got on up to about, I think it was, the switchback was 10. And we was getting almost there. It's a good thing because we're just about all done in, if you want to put it that way. And we got on up, made the last switchback, and then they told us that when you get up pretty high, then you'll sort of come down for a little ways. And when we started, we didn't know what was up there. But we found out, and they told us, when you get up there, you're going to be at the top of the falls. At the top of those falls. Now, if they had told me that down at the very bottom, when I was looking up 600 and some feet, that trail led 600 and some feet up there, I'd probably just took a picture of it, and we'd have gone our way. That would have been the end of the journey. But now I wanted to see it. I was almost home. It wasn't home, but almost to my goal. And we got up and started down that little incline. And then they had built some rock walls along right on down. And out in front of us was sort of an octagon deck. And there was a little stream running along beside of us. And we walked on down, and there was the deck over top of the falls. And the stream ran in and under that deck and dropped 600 and some feet. I told them that whoever built that deck was crazy. I don't think a person had much sense. You go step out there and 600 feet up in the air build this deck. How they did it, I have no idea. But we got down to the little deck, and I walked very gingerly out on it, and I didn't go right up to the rail along the edge. If you want to go out there and hang over the rail, that's your privilege, but that wasn't my privilege. I wasn't going to do it because I knew how far that drop was down, even though I couldn't see it all right there. And we took a number of pictures and then started back. But one thing about it, when we reach our goal, we won't have to come back anymore. It's all going to be over. Our trials, our temptations, the fights will be done. The bodily afflictions that we have will be all gone. The scripture says he's going to give us a new body. We'll have, from mortal, we will have immortality. And be able to be in the place where that we can breathe the celestial air. It's not like the air up on those mountains. I found out real fast that when you get up, we decided coming back, we just before Denver, that we had to find a place to stop. And so we got us a place, and it was found out the elevation was over 8,000 feet there. And if you're going to stop at a motel, don't stop at a place that's 8,000 feet up on the mountain. That is not, unless you're, maybe if you're healthy and young and have lots of whatever it takes, it might work. We got all settled for the night, and I laid down, and I couldn't sleep. I huffed and I puffed and tried to breathe and couldn't hardly breathe. And finally I got up out of the bed and sat in a rocking chair, and I still couldn't breathe while I was sitting down, and sat there for about 3 hours, wide awake as can be, and couldn't sleep. I'm glad that heaven's celestial air is not going to be like that. It won't be thin. It's going to be pure, the wonderful glories of being home with the Lord. You know, the trials of earth gone forever. And the scripture says, though, that they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. That's another solid promise. If you sow in tears, you're going to reap in joy. He that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. And then there are several scriptures that I'd just like to read that go right along with that. In Luke 18:1, it says that men ought always to pray and not to faint. And in Galatians 6:9, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. And another real wonderful promise is in Hebrews 12:3, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners and against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. So let's not be weary in well-doing. Let's pray and not faint. That night in the motel, about 3 o'clock, Ann said, let's just pack up and leave this place. I was still sitting in my rocking chair. But you can't pack up and leave at 3 o'clock in the night. There's nobody to take your keys or anything. So we stuck it out. In the morning, I was up early that morning, and I was ready to come home. Thank the Lord. One of these days we can breathe a sigh of relief and lay our armors down and go home to be with the Lord. But until then, the scripture or the song speaks about working until Jesus comes. And I had to think of this brother that has gone on to be with the Lord, Brother Wilbert Krupp. He's laid his armor down now. He's fought a good fight. Where are the young people? Are they there? Are you one of them that's willing to take up the armor and take up the challenge and be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might and not your own talents or whatever that you have, but to use for the Lord's glory? Take up that armor and fight the good fight of faith until your race is run. You know, the challenge is for us that are still alive to be faithful, to be true to the Lord, and keep fighting until he says, it's enough, you can come home. Let's kneel in prayer.